let's start off. So I just want to give a little mashal to what I was talking about last night. I was talking with my Rebbe, Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky, and he was saying a mashal. He said, we talked about how sometimes the things in the more refined worlds, right? The things in the more upper worlds are harder to determine and define what they are. But once they come into this world, then you know, you understand it better. So, but that doesn't, you know, so he said, for example, he said, when, and you have to be on a higher level in order to really understand it in the higher world. He said, for example, let's say you have a computer screen. So right now I'm looking at the computer screen and I see all sorts of beautiful colors and I see all sorts of colors and pictures. I see everything great, right? But if I would go behind the computer screen, so all you see is a bunch of wires and digital number 1, 2, 1, 2 numbers, and you see all this whole digital combinations of stuff. It only turns into a picture once it comes further away. Once it comes outside more of the machine and it manifests itself into the screen, then all of a sudden, it's a picture, right? So if you're a scientist and you're a computer guy, then you don't need to see it on the screen. You can get the code. Right, you get the whole code, and you'll see, oh, 1, 2, 5, 7, the whole code for the equation, and also, yeah, that's what a picture looks like, right? But for the rest of us, we see those numbers, we have no clue what it's talking about until it turns on, until it sends the message of all those digital numbers onto the screen, and all of a sudden, it looks like a picture, right? So that's exactly what's going on. Right, in the upper worlds, everything is happening, but it's happening in codes, it's happening in numbers, it's happening in different ways, and then it's kind of slowly manifesting itself, and now it looks like a picture in this world. So even though what we see is the picture, that's just the end of the whole process. The process started a lot further up, right? So if that an animal can come and draw a picture on the screen. But that's not really chashuv, right? What we can do is we go send the message to the back. We can actually type in the numbers, and we're actually creating the whole real scene. Okay, but that's just to understand a little bit of a mashal what we were talking about, last time. Now, there's the in explaining how our kedusha is on a higher level than the kedusha of the malach, right? So Reb Chaim Volozhiner gives another example of that in Perek Yud Aleph. He says that if you notice in the Siddur, there's different types of malachim, right? There's seraphim, oifanim, and chayos, right? So if you notice in the Siddur, we attribute different kedusha to each malach. So we say, first we start saying v'chulam akabam aleim omachu shamayim, then we kodesh v'heifanim v'chayos hakodesh brash kodom snasim umas serafim. The serafim say kodesh and the heifanim say baruch kavod, right? Each one says a different nusach. Right, so the first group of malachim say kaddish, and the second group of malachim say baruch. But you don't have one malach that says both baruch and kaddish, right? First, right when the first malachim get up and say kedusha, then the second malachim come along and say baruch kavod Hashem b'mekaymai. So he says, because a malach, again, is limited. A malach can only bless Hashem with the kohos he's given. So the malach of Kaddish could say Kaddish. The malach of Baruch could say Baruch. But human beings, we say Kaddish and Baruch. We could say the entire Kedusha, because we're not limited in our koach of Kedusha. So therefore, we could say the Kedusha of Baruch, and we could say the Kedusha of Kaddish. So we see, again, we're on a higher level than a malach, okay? Even in the nature of our Kedusha, okay? Now, at the very end of chapter Yud Aleph, he says something very interesting, which probably fascinates a lot of people, which is, how many of you have heard of the concept of saying Perek Shira? Perek Shira, people know about it? Okay, so Perek Shira is a very mysterious kind of composition that's maybe written by Aldo Marishon. It's not clear who wrote it.
And basically, it's a song.
Well, it's a tefillah that basically says that each part of the Bria is Meshabeach Hashem in a certain way. Okay? Each part of the Bria, each part of creation, praises Hashem in a specific way. So animals say this, and every type of animals, like 70 types of animals, elephants say this, and scorpions say that, and each one has its own pasuk. Now, why is it like that? You need mefarshim and explaining it. Why do scorpions say olam chesed yibane? And why do frogs say this? And it's a very kind of mysterious thing about it. Okay? But that's Perek Shira. And then it talks about how the waves say this and the wind says this. And each element of the Bria praises Hashem in a specific way. That's what Perek Shira is. So the question is, why does it say in Chazal, the last paragraph of Perek Aleph, it says, Kol ha'omer Perek Shira b'chol yoyim, anyone that says Perek Shira every single day, well, he doesn't bring the end of it. He says v'chulu. So what happens to someone that says Perek Shira every single day? So I think it's brought down, they're ma'arichim le'yomav or something very good happens to them. So the question is, what's the idea of saying this Perek Shira? So you're describing how this force in the Bria does that, and this force in the Bria does this. It says, Kol Isaac Parashir Ba'olam Hazeh, Zoich Elulma B'tamudah Miskayim B'yadu, you get to learn, V'nitzel Mi'etzahara, he won't have Yitzahara. What's going on? So he says, Rabbi Chaim V'lozhiner explains beautifully. He says, because like we've been saying, every force in the Bria, every koach in the Bria exists in man. So when we're saying, like it starts off, it says, Gan Eden says this, Gehenim says that, right? It says, the wheat praises Hashem by saying, Shir Malos Mimamakim. It has a certain koach of how they praise Hashem. Remind him of fruit trees, praise Hashem this way. Every koach in the Bria has a power, was created to bring out a certain element of Kavod Shemayim. Okay? But we have all the powers of all the Bria. When a person says Perek Shira, they are now unleashing on a higher level the spiritual koach that exists in that physical force. And now that force can now unleash its Kedusha into the world. So if there's a source of Kedusha, of Tefillah La'ani Kiyatoif, so there's an Indian of Tefillah La'ani, there's a power that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, who's in charge of that? Shiboilus Sayim. Apparently, barley is in charge of that. I don't know what that means. Okay. But there's a Korach in the Bria that Hashem, now it has to be unleashed. And we essentially have all the forces of all the Bria in us. And when we tap into that Kedusha and add Kedusha to that element, so therefore, whatever element frogs are connected to, we have that strand. And we, by adding Kedusha to it, we're adding a strand of Kedusha to that force. And now, whatever force, that spiritual force that's in charge of, it can unleash its Kedusha. So he says, Sha'idea Mira Sa'adamo, he said, when a person says Perek Shira, who koyla kola koyach is kula, we're made up of all the kochos, who knows in koyach la ha-malachim ha-sarim, shal kol elu abrios. It gives the koach to all the malachim and all the sarim of all of these brios, shiyomu el hashir, so they can now sing that song. By dezei moishchem chiyusam v'shipam lehashpia b'chol hatachtoinim. And then they can pull more Kedusha into the world. So that's really essentially the idea of Perek Shira according to Nefesh HaChaim. Okay. Now, in Perek Yud Beis, so Yud Beis of Gimel Yud Dalet is one long concept, okay? And in order to understand this concept, we have to give a little bit of Akdama, okay? The Akdama is that a person, we've said this before in the Ruach Haim, we spoke this out, but it goes like this. Really, really, a person is made up of three parts, as we've said numerous times, right? Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama. Neshama is the most elevated, the most sublime, the most refined. Right, nefesh is the most nefesh bahami. That's the physical, you know, element of the person, the physical drives and the physical desire, you know, instincts of the person. The nefesh and the ruach is the speech, which is kind of bringing them bridges it. Okay, because speech is a little bit physical, but it's also with the mind. So nefesh is the guf, speech is the bridge, and neshama is purely spiritual. And those three things correspond to, and by the way, that's in the Sefarim of Rav Chaim Volozhiner and in the Kabbalah Sefarim, that's called Naran, Nefesh Ruach Neshama, Naran, Nun Resh Nun. So you'll see a lot of times, if you learn the Sefer, Naran, it means Nefesh Ruach Neshama, it means the full gamut of the of what the person's makeup is. That corresponds to three ways that a person can perform mitzvahs of averus. Machshava, Dibor, Maisa, right? Maisa is actions, that's nefesh. Dibor, you could say Lashon Hara, you could, that's Machshava, or you could learn Torah, you know, that's the Ruach. And Neshama is the thoughts, the Machshava. He's going to explain now, believe it or not, how each one of these elements affects different parts of the Olamos. So there's going to be a parak about Machshava, there's going to be a parak about Dibor, and there's going to be a parak about Maisa. Okay? Now, we already mentioned, you know, that scary parak about Machshava a little bit, what Machshava does, right? But he's going to now flesh it out a little bit. Okay? The first four lines of Perek Yud Beis, chapter 12, are a little bit Kabbalistic. I mean, believe it or not. So I'm going to read the words, and maybe we'll understand that a little bit as the time goes on. He basically says like this: Masha nefesh ruach neshama shel ha'adam ein biyecholtam lekasher ha'olamos. The nefesh ruach neshama of the person. This spiritual forces are like these forces in the person. If they were divorced from the guf, okay, they would not be able to accomplish anything in the Bria, because they would be like in the Neshama. The Neshama would be like a Malach, essentially. And we're saying a Malach can't really do anything. So the Neshama would be the same. It would be created with its level of Kedusha. So what now made it that now the Neshama could accomplish something? So he says the ability for it to be Makasha Leilamas and Ridatam Lamata Beguf Adam is only when they were put into the Guf. The connection of the Neshama and the ruach and the nefesh into the guf is what gives it the ability to affect the olamos. Because now you're taking a davar elyon, you're passing it through all the worlds and putting it into this guf, which creates this mafli lasos, this combination, which is koilel in it the entire bria. Okay, so it's only the connection to the guf that allows the neshama to make this impact. Kilasakin olam ha'asiya. They needed to join into the Olam HaMaisa. I'm not going to try to explain that right now. Okay, so, but that fine. Now, let's get a geshmak vart, okay, because he says two psukim, he says a vart to explain this. Okay, he says, you know, the pasuk says, Hayoitzer Yachad Libam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us, Hamavin, and he understands El Kol Maaseim, all of our deeds. Does that pasuk sound familiar to anybody? We say Shabbos morning in the Rananu. It says Hayoitzer Yachad Libam, Hamavin, El Kol Maaseim. Hashem understands everything we do. So if you had to say Hamavin, that he understands everything we do, wouldn't you normally just say Hamavin Kol Maaseim? He understands all of their deeds. What does it mean when it says in the pasuk Hamavin El Kol Maaseim? He understands the direction of all their deeds. El is the directions towards. Well, what is that word El doing there? So he says, Lefi Pshuto, it shouldn't have said that. Hayro lomar hamaven koma aseim. So why does it say El? El means towards. So it's like hard to read the pasuk. He understands to all of their deeds. It doesn't really make sense. So he says, you know what it means? Shehu hayoitzer, because God created us. So he knows how deep we can affect the worlds. So he doesn't just see our deeds. You know, a simple person would just see our deeds, right? When I see you give it staka, I see your maisa. You know what I don't see? I don't see El your maisa. I don't see the direction that how deep your maisa went and how much it actually affected, because I'm just human like you. But you know, Hashem, he not only sees our deeds, he sees El Kol Maaseim. He sees the direction. Where did this deed go? Where did this maisa take you? You know where it took you? It took you to the Olamos. Took you all the way up to Shemayim. This deed, And this Maisa now affected the whole world. And who knows that? Hashem. You need Hashem for that. So just like you need Hashem, that's the puzzle. Hayoytzer Yachad Libam. Hashem created us. Only Hashem could create us. Just like only Hashem could create us, only Hashem knows how much our Maisim actually accomplish. So that's the Pasuk saying. It's a Gvaldik of Pshat. Hayoytzer Yachad Libam. You ever see me saying it on Shabbos? Hayoytzer Yachad Libam. Hashem created our hearts. Hameven, and he also understands El Kol Maaseim, how deep our Maisim go, the direction of how far they take us. Okay? Vertzaloyma Hanogeya Lemaaseim. He understands ad heichan maaseim magim, how deep they go. Now, he says one more word here. It's 8:47, so we're going to say that word tomorrow. But whoever wants to stay on, I'm going to say a Gvaldika story right now. Okay, unbelievable story. I don't want to say it during the share because it's too complicated. But this story, if you have 3 minutes to listen to the story, I advise you to listen to the story. So I will be talking about Perek Shira. So in Perek, there was a story about there was a young couple in Eretz Yisrael. There was a young couple in Eretz Yisrael. They just got married and they were living in a certain neighborhood, and a poor guy knocks on their door. And the poor guy knocks on the door and he says, I need a place for a meal. All right, come in for a meal. Turns out this guy was a homeless guy and one of these nebuchs of the neighborhood. And this new couple just moved in and they didn't realize who this guy was. Next thing you know, he's knocking on the door every day. 3-4 nights a week he's coming for dinner. Then one day he brings a bag. He's like, what's this? Oh man, this guy's laundry. He wants, can I do my laundry here? The kids are, you know, everyone else in the neighborhood, like shoes. So this couple and has this guy over 3-4 nights a week for supper. She's doing his laundry, whatever. They're helping him out. A year or two later, they got an opportunity to move into a nicer apartment in a different neighborhood. So they took the opportunity and they took it. They weren't sure, like, what are they going to do about this guy? Like, do they have to tell him where they're moving? Like can they clear their slate? In the end, they did not tell him that they're moving. So they moved to the new apartment. Fine, yishmak. Okay. Right after they started moving, weirdly enough, they saw like a little bug, and it was like a scorpion. Okay, so they see it, whatever. A few weeks later, they see another one. So they ask their neighbors, do you ever see this stuff? They say, no. 2 weeks later, the place is swarming with these. They call an exterminator. This stuff is poisonous. Got to get out of here. They tell the exterminator, what's going on? The exterminator says, I don't know. I looked in the rest of the building. They're not here. The rest of the building doesn't have this stuff. So the weirdest thing. Okay. They went to Reb Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg. You all heard of Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg? They went to Reb Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg and they asked him, what's going on? Is there any explanation to understand what's going on? So Reb Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg says, bring me the Perek Shira and let's see in the Perek Shira, what does the Akrav say? What's the Pasuk of the Akrav, which is the scorpion? He opens up the Perek Shira and it says here, I'm looking for it now. It says the Akrav Oimer, Oilam Chesed Yibane. The Pasuk of the Akrav is Oilam Chesed Yibane. The world stands on Chesed. So he, no. Akrav Oimer, Toiv Hashem Lakol, V'rachamav Al Kol Ma'asav. Okay, that Hashem is good to everyone. V'rachamav Al Kol Ma'asav. So he says to them, would you have any reason to assume that there's a problem with this pasuk because you in that new apartment? Rachamav, have you not been merciful? Al Kol Ma'asav on all the creations of Hashem. When you move to this apartment, like what? So they say, I don't know. I mean, maybe it has to do with the story. So Scheinberg said, yeah, 100% has to do with that story because you didn't invite this guy back to this new apartment. So the Akrav, who represents the Koyach of Toiv Hashem Lakol, the Racham of Akol Ma'asav, is coming to be Toiveya, the Chesed of this guy in your new apartment. So they went to the, So the guy's like, okay, how am I supposed to find him? They're looking high and low, they never found him. Basically, 2 weeks later, this guy's on a bus and he sees the homeless guy, you know, in the street somewhere. He hops off the bus and he tells them his new address. He says, oh yeah, we moved, whatever. Here's our new address. The guy shows up 3 times a week for the supper and there's no more scorpions. This is a true story, this maisa. But anyway, that's a maisa for the, that's a maisa of the Perek Shira. All right?
Good story, everybody. Thank you.
Okay, we'll be in touch, everybody.
Oh, yeah,
okay, have a great night.